Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
How many of you would say that you are good at managing your free time? You are really good at managing your free time. Whenever you get like an hour or two or maybe half a day to do whatever you want, at the end of it, you feel relaxed, you feel refreshed, maybe you feel accomplished, and you know exactly how to use your free time. Well, there have been times in my life where I have not been particularly good at managing my free time. And one of those periods of my life was my freshman year at York College. I was bad at managing my free time. In fact, my entire dorm section was bad at us managing our free time. And there was one primary culprit for that. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 for the original PlayStation. This video game was unbelievably addicting. It also shows how old I am. But this game was so addicting. Every single one of us was addicted to it. And we would spend ridiculous amounts of our free time playing this game instead of doing what we were supposed to do. And how this would work is, it'd be the afternoon, we're trying to work on us. Most of us are in our rooms working on something or studying, and then someone would turn the game on, and we would hear the music. And then someone would call from down the hall, "Come on, man, I've got to study." 5 minutes later, they're out in the lounge playing the video game. It was like that old Godfather quote, "Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in." And so many of us spent so much of our free time misusing it playing this game. And whenever we would misuse our free time, it would come with a cost, because the work we were not doing during our free time ended up being have to be done overnight, pulling all-nighters, maybe the next morning skipping a class to make sure we turned something in on time. And maybe even later, it would restrict our free time for the next few days, because eventually the work needed to be done. Now, how many of you have been in a similar situation? Maybe it's not with video games, but you've regularly misused your free time. You have free time to do whatever it is you want, and you end up at the end of that time not feeling like it was free time at all. Or maybe you started a project and then you didn't get it done in the time allowed, and you're actually in worse shape off than you were before you started your free time, because now you have a bigger mess. Has anybody ever been there? See, that doesn't just happen when it comes to our free time. It comes with any freedom we have, comes with the possibility that we may misuse it. We have the freedom to buy whatever it is we want. But if we misuse that freedom, maybe we spend it on things that are not that important to us, and then later we don't have the money for the things we really want or we really need. Or even worse, we misuse it so badly we end up in debt, and then we have no choice as to where our money goes. Or maybe you're 16 and you just got the new freedom to drive a car. But if you misuse that freedom, you can end up getting pulled over and getting a ticket, or even worse, end up wrecking your car. See, we have the freedom to say whatever it is we want, but if we misuse it, we can end up hurting people, or even worse, costing us entire relationships. See, misusing freedom often ends in a loss of freedom, doesn't it? See, having freedom is one thing, but living in such a way that takes full advantage of that freedom and that doesn't get us in trouble, well, that's something else entirely. See, all of us probably have stories in our lives where we've misused the freedom that we have, and it's ended up costing us. And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives as well. So the work of Jesus in our lives has given us tremendous amounts of spiritual freedom. But if we aren't careful, we can end up living in such a way that restricts that freedom or even costs us that freedom. See, we're in week two on this series on the Holy Spirit, and we're looking at who is the Holy Spirit and what is his role in our lives. So today we're going to be taking a look at the Holy Spirit and how he helps get us free and how he helps keep us free. So to look at the dangers and the threats to our freedom and how the Holy Spirit comes along and works to keep us free, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Now, a little bit of background on Galatians. This is written a letter from Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia, and this was a group of Jewish believers that were struggling to fully understand and fully live in the freedom of Jesus. So it starts right from the beginning, right from verse 1. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. A little bit later in verse 13, Paul hits the same note again. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." Jesus wants us to be free. He died on the cross and rose from the dead to allow us to be free. We're called to be free. Free from what exactly? Well, this verse gives us a hint. "But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh." See, Jesus provided us with freedom from the flesh. Now, what is this idea of the flesh? This English word that's translated the flesh is the word sarx, and this means the sinful state of human beings. See, each one of us has a sin nature. Each one of us has thoughts and desires and passions that drive us to think and do things that are wrong, that are bad for us, that are harmful for us. And Paul, in fact, gives us some examples of how the flesh works and some of the things it does. Over in verse 19, it says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." Well, this is even bigger than this. These are just some of the ones that he mentions. These are just some of the things that our flesh can drive us to do. And without Jesus, there's no hope of us fighting back against this nature. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 8 says this, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Now, this is what Jesus died to free us from. We are no longer a slave to our flesh. We are no longer a slave to our sin nature. We have been freed from its grips. That is an unbelievable, amazing thing, that we are no longer slaves to it. But as we talked about earlier, there's a huge difference from being free and living in such a way that actually reflects that freedom. It is possible to be free, yet live in such a way where we don't experience the reality of that freedom. Let me give you an example. Let's say you take a school student, a high school student. For their entire time in school, they have been legally required to go to school. And now it's senior year. They're graduating from high school. They get their diploma. They walk down the aisle. They have the graduation party. They celebrate with all their friends and family. They're free. They're out. They don't have to do it anymore. What would you say then if that next fall shows up and that student is sitting there in their homeroom again, in their same desk, attending their same classes, doing their same homework? You'd be like, man, there's something wrong. there's something really wrong with this picture. Who would do that? But yet it's exactly that type of thing that Paul is warning us about. Verse 13, the second half, "But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh." So one thing that's absolutely essential for us to understand, that while we are no longer slaves to our flesh still exists, and it's still working against our freedom. And it's something we wrestle with on a regular basis. Maybe you know that God has freed you, but you are just still so angry all the time. You know that you've been forgiven, but yet you still struggle with guilt and shame and doubt. You know that God has freed you from fear, but worry is your constant state of being. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. See, we are free, but it can be easy for us to just allow our sinful flesh to control our thoughts, our desires, our actions. And if we let it, the flesh can come to dominate our lives to the point where it ends up controlling us. Back to verse 1. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. See, we know that we have been freed from unforgiveness. We have been freed to forgive other people. But maybe you are just constantly stuck in the cycle of bitterness and resentment based on something that has happened to you, and you can't seem to break free of it, and it's spilling over into other areas of your life, and it's harming your other relationships. Or you know that you've been freed from the control of our sexual desires, but it's so easy to click here, to go there, to think that. And it's come to start controlling your life where you can't even stop doing it even when you want to. Even though we're free, if we're not careful, we risk not living in the full freedom that Jesus has provided to us and returning to the slavery of sin. Now, maybe you know what I'm talking about this morning. Maybe you know the truth, but there are parts of your life that you have never known freedom in. Maybe there's areas of your life where you just feel just a constant weight, a constant burden weighing you down, and you feel anything but free. See, allowing the flesh to control us can lead us to a life that looks nothing like what Jesus intended for us, that doesn't reflect the freedom that he died to give us. Jesus does not want that to be our reality. Jesus does not want that to be our story. And so he sent us the Holy Spirit. He sent us the Holy Spirit to rescue us. And it's the Holy Spirit that will help us get free. Verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Jesus sent the Spirit into the lives of believers to provide us with a means and a path to fully living in freedom, to avoiding the temptations of the flesh, to avoiding that pathway that takes us where we don't want to go. Walking by the Spirit is our ticket. It's our ticket out of the slavery of our thoughts and desires into the freedom of Jesus. The Spirit is going to help us get us free, and the Spirit is going to help keep us free. So how do we walk by the Spirit? What does it even look like to be able to walk by the Spirit? I'm going to give you 5 steps this morning. And these are going to be 5 steps that will help us if we follow them. They're going to help us be able to walk in the Spirit. And they're going to help us to experience the freedom that Jesus has intended for us. Now, last week, Pastor Doug did a great message talking about how the Holy Spirit talks to us. If you did not get a chance, I encourage you, go back on the website, go back on our podcast feed and listen to this. It's a great, great instructional tool on how the Spirit speaks to us. But one of the things the Spirit does in the lives of believers is he sets up a voice and a presence in our lives. And that voice and that presence serves as a direct contrast to the voice of our flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. See, we have the desires of the flesh, and then we have the desires of the Spirit, and they're both operating within us. Now, because of this reality, there's one major thing that we need to understand. It's that we cannot trust every thought, every desire, or every feeling that presents itself in our life. Unchecked, unfiltered thoughts, feelings, and desires are often from the flesh, and they often lead us in the wrong direction. Now, this is the first of the five things that will help us walk in the Spirit. Stop acting on unchecked, unfiltered thoughts and desires. Stop doing it. Just because you think something, just because you desire something, doesn't mean that you should indulge it, doesn't mean that you should act on it. Now, this can be very contrary to what a lot of our culture tells us, but it's true. I mean, think about it. You might want to tell your mother-in-law that she is really bad at cooking, but maybe you shouldn't. You might really, really want to eat that gas station burrito. That doesn't mean you should. Not all of our thoughts and desires should be acted on. And so we need to recognize and we need to understand that this is the reality that we live in. Number two, learn to identify and recognize the voice and the call of the Spirit. Learn to identify and recognize the voice and the call of the Spirit. This is something that Pastor Doug talked about last week. I'm just going to briefly recap one of the things he said about how the Spirit talks to us. The Spirit talks to us through Scripture. The Spirit talks to us through Christian friends and family. The Spirit talks to us through gifted teachers and through circumstances. See, if we begin to look for the voice of the Spirit in our lives, we will recognize what the Spirit looks like and we'll be able to act on that. And we'll see where he is leading us and we'll recognize what is of the Spirit. Now, verse 22 in this talks to us a little bit about what the Spirit is like. We talked about what the flesh is like. What's the Spirit look like? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are things that represent the Spirit. This is what the Spirit is trying to grow in your life. And this is how we recognize the Spirit in our lives and at work around us. Now, I said this analogy to someone last week after the service, and I like it. I've used it a number of times. But you know how whenever you get a new car, you've never seen that car on the road before, and now all of a sudden you recognize that car everywhere. You start to see it. You start to see other colors and you start to see different models. All of a sudden it is in your vision for the first time. The Spirit, working with the Spirit and recognizing the Spirit is a lot like that. Once we start to look for it, we start to see the Spirit all around us. We start to recognize his voice. We start to see his presence in the world. So we need to stop with our unfiltered thoughts. Stop acting on them. We need to start recognizing the voice of the Spirit in our lives. Number three, we need to filter our thoughts, our feelings, and our desires through the Spirit. We need to combine those first two things. Let's start filtering our thoughts through the Spirit. See, we need to take our thoughts, feelings, and desires, and we need to hold them up and say, is this from the flesh? Or is this from the Spirit? Is this from the flesh or is this from the Spirit? So let's do that. What does it look like? Here are the things that represent the flesh. Here are some of the things that represent the Spirit. Is what we're thinking, is what we're desiring, is what we're acting, is it more like list one or is it more like list two? Someone cuts you off into traffic and you yell at them and you give the one finger salute. Is that list one? Or is that list two? Well, I think I see something about, you know, rage, fits of rage. I think that's on list one. I think that's probably safe to say that might be out of list one here. That might be the flesh. Someone criticizes you in a meeting at work, and you really want to badmouth them, but you decide, you know what, I'm going to hold my tongue on this one. Hey, that's self-control. That's over here on list two. That's probably a Spirit thought. That's probably a Spirit action. You have a work project that fails or a performance review that doesn't go well, and the only thing you want to do is just go out and get drunk to drown it away. Yeah, that's going to be on list one. That's going to be flesh. That's going to be what that looks like. You bring your kid to one of their friends' birthday parties, and you just look at how all out this family went. All the decorations, all the expensive food, all of this type of stuff. And the first, you have two simultaneous thoughts. But who do this person think they are? And man, I'm a terrible parent. You have those two simultaneous thoughts operating exactly in you. Yeah, it's probably going to be this one. That's probably going to be flesh. You really want this new job. Now, this one might be a little bit harder. You really want this new job. And you're trying to decide whether to take it. Well, what is your motivation? What is your motivation? Is it about challenging yourself? Is it about looking and seeing the opportunity to grow and to advance and all the good you can do in this new job? If that's your motivation, maybe that is list two. Maybe that is of the Spirit. Or is it really just about furthering your own ego? Is it really about just amassing more power to yourself? Is it really about being able to say, I make a bigger salary than somebody else? Well, maybe that's selfish ambition. Maybe that's flesh. Sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes we have to think through it. Sometimes we have to spend some time on it. Is this of the Spirit? Is this of the flesh? See, too many of us allow thoughts, feelings, and desires into our lives without questioning them at all. And we allow them to have a far bigger impact on us than what we think. That's walking in the flesh. Now, if you in particular, if one of the areas of struggle you have is with negative thoughts, I want to share just a quick filtering device, something that you can quickly use and understand and memorize, that you can help check thoughts that come into your mind. And it was something I picked up on from John Acuff's book, Soundtracks. And it's a really simple filtering tool that can help you with your thoughts. Anytime you have one of those thoughts pop into your mind, those negative thoughts, ask yourself these three real simple questions. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? Maybe you did make a big mistake at work. You really messed up this time, and it's got you feeling like, I am just an absolute failure. Ask yourself the three questions. Is it true? Well, I mean, it might be part true. I mean, you might have actually screwed something up. That wouldn't be good. But is it true that you're a failure? That doesn't seem that necessarily true. Is it helpful? Calling yourself a failure absolutely is not helpful. And is it kind? There's no way that you can say that is kind. So if it's failing these tests, then you can probably guess that it is not of the Spirit. I can remember one of the times where I had to do this. It was 2018, and I was helping to lead a pastor's conference in Kenya. And I was a relatively inexperienced speaker. And I was spent some of that trip dealing with my own inadequacies about how am I going to stand up on stage and teach leadership to people in a foreign country. And so after a couple of messages that I did that actually, it turns out, were pretty well received, I just remember talking to my dad and saying, I don't know if this is working. I don't know if they're receiving anything. I don't know if anything I say is even making sense. And he looks at me and he says, where's that coming from? Where's that coming from? This isn't, like, I'm sitting next to you. I'm watching this. I'm seeing how this, where is this coming from? And I had to spend some time thinking about where this is coming from. And I can tell you it was not coming from the Spirit. And I've had to wrestle with this at times in my own life. Walking in the Spirit means filtering your thoughts and your desires. And now that we filter our thoughts and desires, what do we do with them from there? The next thing we need to do is we need to crucify them. Verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. See, that what happens is the voice of the Spirit will draw your attention in your life to areas that are the flesh and not of the Spirit. The Spirit will draw your attention to areas of life that have not been fully given over to Jesus, where you are still operating out of the flesh. And once he does that, what we need to do is we need to begin with confessing them to God. We need to pray something like, God, this thought was not of you. This desire is not of you. This action that I took was definitely not of you. God, I give this over to you. I give this over to you. Allow the Spirit to come in and take over this part of my life. Now, sometimes that takes time. Sometimes it takes thought and reflection. Sometimes you have to think through what's going on and why that's there. Sometimes we need to have conversations with friends and family, maybe a mentor, to help us determine what's going on and why that thought is there, why that part of us has not been given over to Jesus. Sometimes we actually need help. Sometimes we need accountability. Sometimes we need counseling. Or we just need to sometimes allow time for the Spirit to heal something within us. It's not always an instantaneous thing. But it's something we absolutely have to do. Once the Spirit reveals to us areas that are we're still operating in the flesh, we have to take them to God and we have to crucify those thoughts in Jesus' name. And the fifth thing, we need to allow the flesh, we need to replace the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. Replace the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. We'll put list two back up again. The Holy Spirit wants to cultivate these things in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit into your life to allow him to develop each one of these things in your life. Actively look to replace those thoughts and those actions that are operating out of the flesh with ones that are operating out of the Spirit. Look to replace those flesh-filled thoughts with truth and with serving. See, if you're finding that you're jealous of someone else's life, start working on gratitude. If you find yourself regularly outbursts of anger, start working on self-control. Are you worried and have constant anxious thoughts? Work with the Holy Spirit on developing faithfulness. Are you dealing with guilt and shame? Constantly bring that back to God and say, I know I am forgiven. Are you struggling with self-doubt? Come back to the scripture where it says, you are loved. You are loved. See, if we learn to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, you will know ever-increasing freedom in your life. And we'll put those five steps back up. I want you to think through those. See, this is the life that Jesus intends for you. It's a life of freedom. Now, after last week's message, Brian Pavlik shared a story with the staff. And I asked Brian if he would give me permission to share the story with all of you, because I think it's just such an amazing example of how the Spirit works in our lives and how the Spirit wants to set us free. So here's what Brian's story from this past week. I had a light bulb moment today on my way to work. I had been walking around with a bag of guilt and shame for a long time, like probably since my divorce in 2011. Just kind of always looking over my shoulder, feeling like I did something wrong. I got so used to living like that I didn't even know. Actually, as I unpacked that a little with Leanne, it probably goes back to when I was a kid and never felt good enough for my dad and how I never did things good enough for him. I felt like a screw-up, and it just stuck with me. Anyway, it hit me that I hadn't done anything wrong, and that I'd been forgiven for past wrongs, and I still hadn't forgiven myself. If God can forgive me, why can't I forgive myself? And it was real quick, but it was an instantaneous lightness in my shoulders when that light came on. I was like, oh, right. I know these truths, but I haven't been able to apply them to myself. Wow. It was so good for me. So simple, but so good. I'm not sure that how that fits into the message from Sunday, but it was a powerful service for me. And I could feel the Holy Spirit's presence for sure. And God picked today to move him from my head to my heart. The Holy Spirit wants to do the exact same thing for you today. Maybe he's showing you areas of your life where you aren't living in freedom. Maybe there are things where you have felt burdened and imprisoned, areas where you're feeling doubt and guilt and shame. He doesn't want that to be your life. Will you let the Holy Spirit move in your life today? Will you let the Holy Spirit move you into freedom? There's ways to respond in your connection card. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you have sent us the Spirit. We thank you because on our own, we have a tendency to misuse the freedom that you've given us. God, but you don't want us to be prisoners. You don't want us to be slaves to something you already freed us from. God, so I'm just asking that you let the Spirit work in our lives today. That you show us areas where we have allowed the flesh to dominate our thoughts, our desires, and our actions. God, you want to heal us of those things. You want us to turn them over to you. You want the Spirit to just get involved in our lives. So maybe today we have some things to turn over to you. Or maybe today you just want to say, I just want to make a commitment. I just want to make a commitment that I will start paying more attention to the Spirit. That I'll just start listening to his voice in my life so that he'll keep me on the path of freedom. God, help every single one of us to live free today. In your name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.